an introduction there, brother.
337.
I'll be reading from Ephesians 6. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Good morning. Today they would make the scripture go away so I'd quit earlier. Stan, I never thought they'd do it to you, brother. Great to have everybody with us. Lots of visitors today. We're just so proud that you're with us. Want you to invite you to come back and be with us again. In fact, we've got good crowd today and lots of folks out. Lots of our regular folks aren't here, so we're glad all of you are with us today. It's hard to believe that we're just a couple 3 weeks away from Labor Day weekend. So really, I don't know, the summers, it all flies, doesn't it? It all flies. But that's good. It's all right. But this, on September the 3rd, which will be Sunday evening of Labor Day weekend, you may remember the group that came in February. I think a lot of them were from Smyrna. But they've got another production that they're doing, and some of our members here are part of that. So on Sunday evening at 6, that group will come. And you remember they have an elaborate stage, but they'll come and do one of their performances for us. So we want to invite you to come. And this is really designed for, I think, 6th grade and up. But our young people are welcome to be here. We're going to have some activities for the younger ones. Because this will deal with some very important themes, but want you to come and be a part of that. Remember, September the 3rd, Labor Day weekend, come and be a part of that with us on Sunday evening. I'm going to actually have a lesson and an aside. This one's kind of free, but I was reading this week, and I've shared with you before, on the next to the last page of the Progressive Farmer, they have lots of sayings, quotes from about different subjects, you know, a different subject each month. And the main reason I still get to Progressive Farmer is I like to read those quotes. Well, I was going back through an issue, I'm not sure even what month it was, and I don't know who to attribute this quote to, and I apologize, but it's not original with me. But it was about water. And so it's all these quotes about water. And but one of them struck me because it is a point that I have thought of many, many times, but could not say it as succinctly and as eloquently as this person made this quote. But it really is, to me, one of the rules of life. And I'll give you the quote in a minute. But I have seen this in people who have lived to be an old age and folks who face life with a smile and a laugh and brighten other people's lives and are not complainers. And I have seen that in people's life, and have even shared with you an illustration of that from my own personal experiences with people who deal that way. But I've never been able to kind of put it in a quote that made sense, although the point, at least that I get from this, I have witnessed it makes sense, and I want to share it with you because I think it's true for all of us. And the quote was this: it doesn't matter if the water is warm or cold if you have to wade through it anyway. It doesn't matter if the water is warm or cold if you have to wade through it anyway. And the point, at least I get from that, and you may say, I don't even understand it, or it doesn't, is how often do we complain about things and worry about things that we can't change them, and we got to do them. We got to face them. And, you know, and for me, the point is, if I got to wade through the water, worrying about, fussing about whether it's warm or cold is pointless. If I've got to wade across that river, across that creek, I just need to roll up my britches legs and get on to it. Right? And I think that makes all the difference in our lives. And where this really became evident, and it's an illustration that I've shared with you before, was my dear friend, Miss Elizabeth Barrett, who lived to be, I believe, 102. But she faced all kind of challenges in her life, and she always was laughing and smiling. And I'll never forget when the boys were little that she had some kind of mineral deficiency, and I can't remember which one of the minerals, potassium or something. I think it might have been potassium. So the doctor said, you don't need to drink water because that's flushing that out of your system. You need to drink sports drinks, Gatorade. So I get the call from Miss Elizabeth, and she was still living at home at the time. And she said, do you have any Gatorade in the refrigerator? Well, she was pretty sure I did because we didn't know Houston didn't have blue lips till he was 7 years old, you know, because he drank blue Gatorade all the time. And the kids, so we went to the barn. I said, yes, ma'am, we'll bring it. So I got the boys. They both got an armful of Gatorades out of the barn refrigerator, and we took them to Miss Barrett. I said, y'all take them to Miss Barrett. These are what y'all drink. So they carried them up there, and we carried them in and put them in the refrigerator for Miss Elizabeth. And as I was getting ready to leave, I said, Miss Elizabeth, I hope you enjoy the Gatorades. And I will never forget her response. She said, it doesn't matter whether I enjoy them or not. I've got to drink them. You know, but it's the same. It doesn't matter whether it's warm or cold. If this is what I've got to do, my enjoying it or not, it's really not all that relevant. I'm going to do what I have to do. And I thought, that's how you live to be 102. She didn't complain. I don't know why that doctor told me to do this. This isn't the right flavor. There's got to be something else. It was just, I got to drink them. I'm resigned to the fact I'm going to drink them. I hope she enjoyed them. It wasn't that she didn't want to enjoy them. It was just a matter of enjoy them or not. I'll do what I've got to do. You know, our lives, we would be a lot more pleasant people if we just face the things we had to face and make the best of them. You know, because often we worry and complain about things which makes it worse than it actually is, right? And the best thing is just to go on and do what you have to do. And I think that's an important lesson. It really ought to be a rule of our lives that if we've got to do something, just get on to doing it, because the dread oftentimes is worse than actually doing it, isn't it? And also, I'll just be honest with you, when I read that quote, there have been several times in this baptistry and the one in the other building, we've had some folks go through some cold water. Mike Bowman. Mike's is one I remember as much as anything, because they don't come much tougher than Mike. And when Mike goes, you know it's cold. But we do what we there are just things we have to face when things aren't always the best, and we don't know whether they're the best or not, but we've got to go through them. And going through them with a positive attitude and not complaining about them is the best, because guess what? Complaining about it, worrying about it, stewing over it is not going to change the temperature of the water, is it? It's not going to change it. So the best thing is just to go through it and make that work. But I read that quote this week, and I had to share it because that, concisely for me, was a quote that brought together a concept that I have witnessed in others. And I said, you know, that really is an important concept of life, if we've got to go through something, we just need to make the best of it and go on. And I was thinking my dad lived that way, for sure. Because I can remember coming home from school or whatever and saying, you know, I got such and such professor for a class. And my dad's response was, well, you know, you're probably going to have to face most all of them at one time or another, so you might as well just get it over with. And he was just like, you know, don't worry about it. Just take it. You'll be all right. There never was any sympathy of, oh, I wish it was just, you know, you're going to have to deal with it, so just face it and deal with it. And, you know, that really kind of shuts you up, too. It's like, all right, there's no sympathy here. But it was just an attitude of just go on and deal with life. And it certainly makes things more pleasant for us. I want to look at a request that Houston read for us from the end of Ephesians. A request that Paul has that I think is very relevant for us today. All right, and it might surprise you that this is a prayer request that the Apostle Paul has, okay? Because, you know, I understand Paul's struggles and the struggles of the folks in the Bible, and I'm appreciative that the Bible shows us the strengths and the weaknesses of the men and women in the Bible. But, you know, you think about Paul, the suffering that he went through, all of the struggles, the shipwrecks, the beatings, all of the things that Paul does and remains faithful. But Paul asked the people of Ephesus to pray this for him. And this follows, and I think this is important, a passage that we're familiar with where Paul describes the armor of God. You know, to put on the armor of God to be able to fight against the devil. And so Paul has written this to the Ephesians about preparing themselves, arming themselves with the offensive and the defensive weapons that God has given us, the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of truth and the helmet of righteousness, right? All of those things. And then he says, now pray, I ask this for me. You arm yourselves with that, but I ask this for me, that whenever I speak, Paul is saying, pray this for me, whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, Paul has been persecuted, imprisoned, and Paul has shown himself to be faithful and to be brave and to be honest in his truthfulness and, you know, to stand up to whatever situation he found himself in and speak the truth. But Paul's saying, pray for me, church at Ephesus, that at every opportunity and in every situation that I will be given the words to freely or to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. What does it tell you about Paul? Something that I think all of us face. I think every one of us face, especially in a changing culture. All of us face is some fear about expressing our faith. Is that not true? Most of us have some apprehension about expressing our faith. Not here, hopefully, in our church, but and maybe not among your family, but sometimes even in a family situation, we're afraid to say much because we just don't want to cause a disruption. What about in our workplace? Are we nervous about saying things in the workplace? You know, it kind of depends on where we work, but sometimes we're apprehensive about talking about faith. Now, probably exhibiting our faith to some degree we're not as apprehensive about, but we're, most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us are a little apprehensive in the workplace to talk a lot about our faith. And in the public arena, we'll find ourselves a little nervous about speaking about our faith. And I'll be honest with you, at least in our community, it still meets with usually a fairly favorable response, but most of us are kind of nervous about that, especially when it comes to discussing any issues that are at all controversial. Do you feel that? You kind of let that go. But I don't think much about Paul having a fear of teaching the gospel and preaching and teaching the truths of God. You know, I thought, well, Paul, I mean, they've already beaten him and left him for dead, and they've stoned him and thrown him out of cities. He's been shipwrecked. He's been snake bit. You know, you would think Paul would cease that fear. But what's Paul saying to them? Paul's saying, I want you to pray for me that, I think he's saying, so that the apprehensions and the fears that I have don't restrict me or limit me in teaching the truths of the good news of Jesus, the truths of the gospel. And Paul wanted them to pray for him. And how much more do I need prayers that I'll do the same thing? That, you know, pray for me. This is a request I have. That I'll know the truth and speak the truth and fearlessly stand up for the truths of God, no matter what the situation is. And something else I think we see in this passage is, Paul says, not only pray that I'll overcome the fear, but that the words may be given me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel. And we know that the power of the Spirit, and again, Paul is an apostle who had learned the gospel from Jesus. But you remember Jesus says when he sends out the 12, you remember what Jesus says to them? They'll bring you before councils and kings and judges, and says, don't worry about what you have to say, but that the Spirit will guide you in what you're to say. And so part of Paul's prayer is, not only will I be fearless in the declaration of the gospel, but I'll know the right words to say, the right things to say, to be about what God would have me do and declaring the truths of Jesus. And, you know, as I read this, I say, Paul, we're quoting you all the time. You know, you wrote more of our New Testament than anybody else. But Paul is praying that he'd be given the words to say the right thing. And this is a little bit of an aside in this lesson, but this is, I think, important. I thoroughly believe that the words of the writing of Paul are inspired by the Spirit of God. That Paul was an apostle of God and was inspired, his words are inspired by the Spirit of God. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, and I believe that that is the truth. And the reason I share that with you is, Paul will say some things, write some things to the churches that are not politically correct today, to say the least. And so there is some, you will even find biblical scholars who will argue with Paul. I'm not talking about arguing about what Paul says, about disagreeing with the detractor. I'm talking about arguing with Paul. The Lord has not appeared to me. I have not spent time with the Lord being instructed in His truths. Paul has. I'm not arguing with Paul. I believe Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God, and those things that he taught and wrote were given to him by the Spirit of God. And I think it's important for us to understand that Paul and his writings are inspired by God. And I think Paul is constantly seeking that he will teach the truths of God fearlessly, and that God will guide him in the right things to say, those things that are accurate and also are appropriate for the time. You know, what is the right thing to say? But I believe Paul, and I believe the Scripture, is inspired by God, that the things he taught, God has led him to and has preserved those for us, and that is really important as we get into discussions. Because, you know, I just think for me, I have no choice but the Scripture be the foundation for faith and practice. You know, it's not about my opinion. It's about what does the Scripture teach us. I'll never forget, I was preaching 25 years ago, maybe 30, and this gentleman, so at that point I was fairly young, and I think I was teaching a class. It wasn't here. And this guy asked me a question about confessing our sins. Just out of the blue. It wasn't the topic. And he just didn't think we had to confess our sins. And my only answer was, Scripture says confess our sins. That's all I got for you. You know, if you don't want to believe that, It's pretty much in the book. But and he just wanted to start a discussion. But I ended, not that I was a great debater, I just cut him off, but I wasn't smart enough to know anything else. You know, it was just, this is what the Scripture says. And we may or may not like what the Scripture says, but it is Scripture. It is the Word of God. And then I heard I was filling in for their regular minister, which allowed me to do a lot in those days. So I got a phone call the next week from their regular preacher, because the word got back to him when he got back that this gentleman asked that, and evidently he was notorious for that, and I think he was trying to trap me. And he said, heard you got to ask a question. I said, yes. And he said, well, and he said, don't worry about it. He said, we love our dear brother, but he was baptized in pickle juice, and he's never really gotten over it. So, you know, and I'd never heard that before. And I thought that was a pretty good saying. But it's a matter of, it is Scripture. It's Scripture. And that's where we go, all right, to the Scripture. Paul is inspired of God, but Paul is saying, help me to be fearless in teaching the truths of God and make sure that I have the right words to say. Now, the Lord's not going to tell me something that's not in the Scripture, because this is the complete Word of God. But do you pray? And I sure would appreciate prayer that you say the right thing at the right time and the right tone. That God gives you the wisdom and the ability to say that. You know, James says if you lack wisdom, ask God. Because sometimes you just say the wrong thing. You know, it might be truth, but you say it the wrong way or the wrong time. And sometimes you don't know whether somebody's serious or they're cutting up with you. Right? And your response to those are very, very different. Are very, very different. And so, knowing how to answer questions the right way, in the right tone, is important. And I'm prayerful about that often, that you give the right advice, right? That you lead people in the right way. Because we always want to lead people back to Scripture, because it's not about our opinion. But so often, as God's people, when we're asked questions, we are the conduit of Scripture to them, right? They may not read the Bible, so they ask us questions. How we answer that is important. And what I've learned also is, I never know what struggle the person who's asking me a question is going through. What questions are they having? What struggles might they be having? And so I want to always make sure I answer that in a way that the Word speaks to them. Because sometimes they need comfort. Sometimes they need correction. Sometimes they need rebuke. And to know the best way to approach that is always, it's always different, always with love and kindness. But Paul, here this apostle that had taught and dedicated his life, said, Ephesians, I want you to pray for me that I'll know the right things to say and that I will fearlessly be about declaring the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador of chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He says that twice, see? He says, I pray that I will do that fearlessly as I should. I pray for all of us, for myself included, certainly, that we be fearless in our sharing of the gospel and our standing for Jesus. That we be fearless in that. I don't mean to be cocky. I mean just to be fearless, because who protects us? Who provides for us? Who cares for us? Who takes care of all of our needs? God does. God does. And so this really comes down, how do I overcome fear of what might happen for standing for truth, for standing for God? The best way to overcome that is say, I know God is going to provide for me and take care of me. Does that mean I'll have no hard times? No. Does it mean that I'll face no difficulties? No. Because again, what happens to Paul? The man who's dedicated himself to teaching the gospel. Everything is rosy for Paul, right? He's on Norwegian cruise lines as he goes across the Mediterranean. He stays in 5-star hotels with room service. Well, you know that's not true. But the reason I share that and want to think about it, because here's a man who's doing God's business as God would have him to do, and he remains faithful, that in the midst of that, he is facing all kind of difficulty and persecution. Because you know Satan has to be tempting him by saying, well, Paul, if God was really who you think He is, or if you were really doing God's business, He'd take better care of you than He's doing. How do you like stonings? How do you like being beaten up? But Paul continues to be faithful. But even though he'd already been through those things, he says to the church, pray for me that I will be fearless in doing what I ought to do, and that's declaring the gospel of Jesus. as our world continues to change, as it always has and will continue to, but this is a personal request. I pray that you'll pray for me, that I might know the right and godly things to say and will do them appropriately and fearlessly. And I pray that for all of us, that we might fearlessly and in a godly way live and teach and stand for the truths of God. Paul needed those prayers. I surely know that I do and that we all do. That we'll stand for God's truth. That we'll know God's truth. And that we'll stand for God's truth. And we'll be about teaching the truth of God. Because we know that God knows what's best for us. God wants what's best for us. And we also know that this world is going to end. It's coming to an end. This world is coming to an end. And that Jesus is going to return. And we're all going to stand before God in judgment. And so, teaching the truth of the gospel, which is good news. That's what gospel means, right? Good news. It's a shame we kind of got to be afraid about telling good news, right? But the only way that the gospel is good news is when you understand the bad news. Does that make sense? You know, if you don't know there's bad news, then you don't appreciate good news. So, the good news, the bad news is this. That Jesus is coming and there is judgment and all of us are sinners. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us stand condemned because of what we've done. That's the bad news. It's reality, but it's the bad news. But the good news is this. That Jesus, God's only Son, came and gave His life that we might be forgiven of our sins and stand justified before God and be heirs of eternal life. And so that's the good news. The good news is the disease of sin is terrible and it's fatal. But there's a cure. And that's Jesus Christ. And faithfulness and obedience to Him. That's the good news. That's the good news. That this world is going to end and all the things around us that consume us. But Jesus is going to return for all of us who are children of God. It will be a great day when we will enter into that inheritance that God has prepared for us. If you need to come this morning, will you do that while we stand and sing?